Hebrews chapter 11. Go back there and look at Abraham worshiping. It's good stuff, man. And just follow that all the way through. My mama says that I frown a lot when I preach. I say what she needs to do is stand on her head. Turn that frown upside down. She's just looking at me wrong. That's right. I say she sits upright too much in church. All right, you turn upside down, Mama, and I'll quit frowning. And don't make me think about the ugly faces I make.
She just wants a Joel Osteen.
You missed out on that when you wouldn't take me to the dentist. You missed out on that a long time ago. I envy that man. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned into a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We looked the other day and we started this thing Sunday looking at some of the stages in a Christian's life. And no doubt if you're born again, you'll go through all seven stages that are mentioned in the Bible. And Sunday we took time to look at three of them that we'll go through. But now we come to the fourth stage in a Christian's life. And that's old Abraham. As you read the Bible concerning this brother's life, you'll see high times and you'll see low times. You can see victories and you can see setbacks in your Christian life. Would you believe that there's going to be some defeats in your Christian life? Would you believe there's going to be some setbacks? Would you believe there's going to be some upsets? Would you believe there's going to be some junk in your Christian life? Sure there is. And so we're looking here at one of the stages. We've done scene three, and we're looking at the next one, which is Abraham. And it's a life of faith. There's times when he had some real close encounters, or Abraham did, with the Lord God Almighty. I mean, you meet with God up on that mountain, friend. I'm talking about coming into the presence of God where he offered up his son. He had a real encounter, and then there was years where he absolutely had none. You know, Abraham went 13 years and never came into the presence of God. God never spoke, God never moved, God never did anything. For 13 years, this man lived in that condition. For 13 years. Done met with God, done had an encounter with the Lord, but then 13 years passed and he's not heard from God since. Isn't that amazing? Ain't that what the faith life really is, though? Walking by faith, is that not what it is? Sure it is. Walking by faith and not by sight, we can see that faith sent him on a journey. And that's what it'll do to you and I. If you get born again, faith will send you on a journey. It'll separate you. It'll scare you. I've been scared in this thing, man. And that might be a lack of faith, but on my journey it has separated me from some things. This is what I've seen, or it's what I've been on since I was 21 years old. I've been on this faith journey, you understand? I've been on a journey of faith since I was 21 years old. It ain't always been easy. It ain't always been peaches. I ain't always been on top of the mountain. Sometimes it was dark, and sometimes it was hard, and sometimes it was scary, and sometimes it was rough. Sometimes it was shouting ground. Sometimes it wasn't. I'm 49 now, so for 28 years I've been on a faith journey. That's right, I've been on a journey of faith. I'll never forget, Zach, God began to deal with me on being a preacher, and he began to deal with me about going to Florida, and I never even had it settled, Eric. Never even had it settled. And God just began to deal with me about packing up and moving to Florida. And I told Stephanie, I said, I believe God wants us to move. And she supported it, was all with it. And I thank God for that. And we loaded up, and I got down there to Florida, and I still didn't know. I still wasn't sure. And so I went back out there in the woods. The woods had been so good to me before. So I went back out there in them woods, thank God, Steve, at the ravines, and began to pray. And God just put it on me, man. I began to preach, and I preached to the squirrels and the birds, whatever was out in them woods. But, man, I'm telling you, it was a time with the Lord Jesus Christ where I was out there alone with Him. And when I got done, God said, now I want you to take that message and preach to a lost and dying world. Just that plain. God made it that plain, Miss Stephanie. Ever since, for 28 years now, I've been on that same journey. That's right. Faith journey. There's been times where I've been tried in my Christian life. There's been times where I've been tested. There's been times that I wanted to tuck my tail and run. Try. You say, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, there's been times in this walk, in this journey of faith, where I just wanted to crawl under the pew somewhere, crawl in a hole somewhere. I wanted to disappear. You say, that's crazy. Is it? Or is that honest? Well, I wished I had the faith that Elijah had. I wished I had his faith. When he crawled off somewhere underneath a juniper tree and feared for his life, you hear me? Just trying to be honest with you. There's been times I wanted to tuck my tail and run. There's been seasons of refreshing. Thank God. There's been times, Miss Stephanie, when I was so low, I didn't know if you have to look up. The old saying is you have to look up and see the bottom. But there's been times where I just come in the presence of the Lord and He just refreshed my spirit, my soul. Thank God. And you feel like you can take a gallon of gas at that time, really, and charge the gates of hell. A season of refreshing. Thank God. God restoring you. But through it all, I wouldn't trade anything in this world for my journey. You hear? Man, I look back from the time I walked out of them apartments in Louisville and entered up into Florida, and man, we went through some struggles and went through some hardships and hard times, and I mean, trouble would come our way. But I tell you, church, as I sit here 28 years later, I say, thank God, it's been well worth it. Amen. I wouldn't take nothing for it. I wouldn't trade it for the best life or any other life in this entire world. I wouldn't trade it for the money life. I wouldn't trade it for the glamour life. I wouldn't trade it for the fame life. I'm just glad, thank God, to be on His journey. Amen. Through it all, just glad to be on the journey of God. God sent me out on this journey. I've never been able to anchor down in anything other than the will of God for my life. Never been able to hunker down in nothing but what God wanted me to do. Not tooting my horn, just talking about living by faith. I'm talking about, you know, I got a brother here, and he can testify. There's been job opportunities that's come up in my life. And Miss Daniel, if I would have compromised the call of God, if I'd have compromised my walk with God, I could have given up on some of the things of God and went after the money and made that compromise and done just fine financially. But I said, no, I can't take that job because God may want me to go preach next month, and I don't want that job to get in the way. I may be able to do what God wants me to do. And I believe everybody ought to have a job, and me in order to take care of the family. Still, I'm just talking about what God's had on my journey. I'm talking about a personal walk with Him. I've had to turn down things. I've had to walk away from things. And I've even had to suffer some things, Miss Stephanie. I can remember not being in the clique and people getting certain promotions when the promotion could have come my way. But because I wasn't one of the boys and couldn't hang out with them after work and train, they overlooked me altogether when it come promotion time. That's fine. I'll say it one more time. It wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Amen. Wouldn't trade places with nobody in this world. Sure, it'd be nice to have a brand new truck. Sure, it'd be nice to have a maintenance-free house. Yes, it'd be nice to have that kind of, man, could be able to live down at the beach and fish all you want to. And I mean, just have the time. I wouldn't trade that for this for nothing in the world. Amen. Sure, friend. Somebody said to me, won't you just move down to the beach? I said, because of God. Amen. Because of God. That's right. Son, I wouldn't want to miss the will of God. I wouldn't want to get out of step with God. I wouldn't want to get off this journey for nothing in the world. Right. And if you stay on that journey, it'll take you to the next stage of your life. That's right. If you walk by faith, ladies and gentlemen, it won't leave you just in this place. It'll take you from place. You understand that Abraham got up and was looking for a city and knew not where he was going. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He was living by faith and walking by faith. And he was just on a journey of faith in his life. Boy, when you'll walk by faith, God will get you somewhere. The next stage is the place he'll get you. Fifth stage in a Christian's life is not just walking by faith, but it's Isaac. What is Isaac? Look with me, if you will, back in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 says this, 1 through 9, let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if you shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. The opposite of that last stage. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in day to day, so long a time, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. What is that next stage in a Christian's life? Where is that walk of faith? Where's that journey of faith going to take the believer to? It's going to take them to a place of rest. That's right. Isaac, listen, ladies and gentlemen, Abraham was looking for a city. Abraham was on a journey. Abraham had to look at his wife and say, pack the bags, baby. We're heading out. And she said, where we're going? He said, I do not know, but God's going to show us. When we get there, we're going to know. Hey, Abraham was on a journey looking for a city, but not Isaac. Isaac never did look for that city. You want to know why? Because he lived there. That city was that place of rest. That city was where God wanted them all along. Isaac didn't have to look for a city. Isaac was just enjoying the fruits of that faith walk. And he was living in that place of rest. I said the other day, Isaac never did have a job. Never did. He would clean them wells out and that's about it. Never did have a job. So what are you talking about? He lived in that place of rest. And when you walk by faith, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you unto God, according to the principles of the Word of God, when you live by faith and walk by faith, God has a rest for the people of God. I'm telling you, friend, you don't have to struggle and fight. You don't have to fear and fret. There's a rest. There's a peace that passes all understanding. You can rest in the Lord. Isaac lived in that city. He wasn't working. He was resting. It'll take you to a place of rest. This place of rest is a joyful place. Hey, it's a place of joy. How about that, Miss Stephanie? What if we was to ask the question tonight, how's your joy? Huh? How's your joy? How much joy do you have? Is the joy of the Lord in your heart? I'm telling you, friend, you might ought to find you a place somewhere and just cut loose. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm telling you, the Bible says that we ought to shout for joy. You ought to find you a place every once in a while where you can just get along with God and shout it out, amen. For what, preacher? To restore that joy. Amen. To get that joy level back up. Say, preacher, I'm weak. You need some joy. Preacher, I ain't got no joy. You need to shout, amen. Need to find you something in the Word of God to rejoice about. I tell you, you're not rejoiced because of the material things, but you're rejoiced because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that ain't enough, friend, I don't know what is. Amen. Go back to Calvary. Take you a spiritual trip up Golgotha's hill. I promise you, friend, you can come out of that place with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Say, preacher, not me. You ain't been to Calvary. Man, that's right. You'll never come back the same. Wasn't working. He was resting. It's a joyful place. How much joy you got? By the look of some of your face, you got absolutely none. You can tell me what you got, but I can look at your face and tell that you got none. It's a peaceful place. How much peace you got? I've seen people smile at me with emptiness all in their eyes. I ain't fooling nobody. The Bible says back in our main text, listen to what it says. Eric, you'll remember we read it Sunday. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will in my name and it shall be done unto you. This is abiding. That's that spirit. That's that walking by faith and living by faith. Just staying with God. Staying with God. A battle will arise in your life. Something's going to jump up and kick the snot out of you. You know how many people I've seen bail out because something didn't go their way? That ain't abiding. That's bouncing. That's unstable. That's right. Won't be unstable. Just stay with God. Battle's going to rise. That's not an excuse for jumping ship. That's not an excuse for bailing out. There's things going to go wrong. There's stuff that's going to happen. It happened to all these men. Best if we just pick our lip up and go on with God. That's right. Just go on. It'll be a better day. Brother Pat used to see you when you was down. So, son, there's better days ahead. That's about all he had to say. Better days ahead. That's all he needed to say. Amen. That was just so. Better days ahead, friend. I've seen some better days, you hear me? Seen some better days. Go through some hurt. Go through some pain, some heartache, some heartbreaks. Be better days ahead. You realize that Isaac never had to fight any battles? He never had any battles. Never had to fight any wars. You read your Bible enough to realize that he never fought a battle. You know what he would do, them Philistines, Steve? They would show up down there at a well and say, we're taking this well. He wouldn't fight. He wouldn't even fight them. So we're taking this well. Isaac say, okay, you can have it. And he'd go down the road and dig another one. But if you'll read your Bible, I promise you, it wasn't before the end of that chapter. The Bible said that they were all bowing down before him. God gave every one of them back to him. He didn't fight. No battles in this place of rest. There'll be some battles in your Christian life. There'll be some battles in some of these stages. But there's going to be some stages in your life where God just gives you rest. There ain't going to be no battles in that thing. good rest, friend. Man, just resting in the Lord. Abraham, or faith, he represents faith in this thought, had fought all the battles. Abraham did. His daddy had fought all the battles. All Isaac had to do was rest in the land that his father's faith carried him. It's good. I promise you, you and I are no different. What's it? What is that land? What is that land that I'm talking about? What is that place of rest? What is that land representing here in our scriptures? That land is the will of God for your life. When you dwell in the will of God, that thing that God has for you individually, just doing what God wants you to do. Abraham did what he didn't have to worry about what Lot did. He had to worry about what Abraham did. He had to walk by God, walk by faith what God told Abraham to do. Right. Wasn't responsible for everybody else. Listen, you're responsible for yourself. That land was the will of God for your life. Don't move out of that land. Don't give up your land. Hold on to it. Fight for it. Thank God, stay there. Walk by faith through that land. God will take care of it. Move out of the will of God. What is the will of God? Read your Bible. That's the will of God. Whatever your Bible says, that's the will. It's the will of God to love one another. It's the will of God to bear one another's burdens. It's the will of God to forgive one another. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. It's the will of God to obey His book. Move out of the land. Something didn't go your way. Don't move out of the land. Just walk in that book, friend. Love one another. Help one another. Forgive one another. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's the will of God. Right. We'll move out of the land. Stay right there, friend. Next, you'll see this. Number six. The sixth stage in the Christian life is the life of Jacob. The character of Jacob. And Jacob represents service. Boy, there's a lot we can say about old Jacob. And Jacob represents service. What was Jacob doing? Well, Jacob was out gathering sheep, and he was out gathering wives. He was out gathering sheep, and he was out gathering wives. Boy, the Bible says that he loved Rachel. Amen. He loved Rachel, and that old trickster daddy-in-law of his, and he got over there and married up to Leah. And through Leah, he had 10 children through handmaids and that lady. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, he had two wives. That represents the Godhead. God's got Israel. Jesus has got the church. Yes. And Miss Stephanie, that girl that he loved, had him two sons. Boy, I like it. She had him two sons. And I'm not going to go off too much into old Jacob, but I'll tell you what Jacob did. He went off and got him some wives, and he got him some sheep. You know what we ought to be about? We're to be about getting our father some sheep, and we're to be out here trying to help him conclude his bride. You hear me? I'm going to ask you a good question. When's the last time you had a real burden for a sinner? Huh? I didn't say for yourself. I said, when's the last time you had a real burden for a sinner? I mean, is your eye open? Look, are you on the prowl? Are you looking for somebody to tell about Jesus? Are you on the prowl to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus? When's the last time you've been looking up and down the street for somebody that God was going to put in your path so you could tell them about the love of the Lord Jesus? Somebody that you could add to the bride of Christ. Another sheep you can bring into the fold. Somebody else, thank God, that's in the family. When's the last time you cared enough to look? It's not ugly. I'm just talking about Jacob represents the service of the Lord. Huh? It's good to serve him. This old world church, it's not our home. You know what Jacob did, Miss Holly? He went off to a foreign land. That's right. He didn't find that girl over in the homeland. They went out there to a foreign land and found that old girl. Ain't that what Jesus did with you? Huh? Is this old world your home? Or are you just a pilgrim here passing through? Thank God that's what I am. Man, I like what the old preacher said about driving your tent pegs too deep. This old world ain't my home. Thank God we're just here temporarily. This place right here, you can have this junk, friend. I'm seated in the heavenlies. We're here gathering sheep and working on the completion of the bride. I'll hurry. Number 7, the 7th stage in the Christian life. Probably my favorite. One of my favorite characters. Old Joseph. Huh? The Joseph stage. Something we don't know nothing about, Zach. It's hard to even talk about Joseph. Because Joseph represents suffering. He represents suffering. That's right. I don't know a whole lot about old Joseph, but man, I love this suffering saint. I do. I love him. I never do read my Bible without getting my heart stirred about old Joseph. Man, I'm telling you. But you know what? I'm glad, thank God, Eric, that this suffering wasn't the final chapter in Joseph's life. I'm glad, thank God, that God didn't leave him down there in that dungeon. I'm glad that God didn't leave him in that pit in the ground. I'm glad God brought him up out of that and he crowned him with glory and honor. You hear me? That's what Joseph represents in our life. I mean, one of these days, y'all, we're going to be snatched up out of this old dungeon. We're going to be called up out of this old slime pit of sin. And God's going to crown us with glory and honor. Do you hear me? Happy day. A happy day. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:12 says. Yea, all that shall live godly, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is anybody being persecuted? I didn't ask you if your feelings was hurt or if your emotions was wrecked. I said, is anybody suffering from any kind of persecution? Because your Bible says that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Old Joshua, these old boys, they knew something about persecution. Joseph knew it. Them old prophets knew it. They knew stuff about that. Knew something about it. If you live for God, ladies and gentlemen, before you finish your journey, listen, you're going to suffer persecution. I don't want to get off on this, but it wouldn't surprise me if we seen more persecution in our day. Wouldn't surprise me. You've heard all the talk about the concentration camps. That ain't why I come. What I come to talk about tonight, but I don't doubt that one bit. I wouldn't put that out of the picture. I just wouldn't. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. You're going to suffer persecution. They may not hang you on a tree just yet, and they may not burn you at the stakes, but I promise you one thing, they'll out you in a heartbeat. They'll out you in a heartbeat. Your own family will put you out if you're not careful. Some of the people that you love the most will make you out to be an idiot. You've heard Zach stand up and talk about how they try to do that little girl and they need to do it a whole lot more and spare not for her crying. But you go whipping them grandkids and grandma and grandpa's want to get upset. Not me. I think they need to do it 10 times more than what they do it. 10 times harder. Amen. Sit up there and kick and scream. Let God beat her till she can't. Steve, you know what I think about? I get to think about persecution. I get to think about old Apostle Paul sitting over in one of them prisons. Huh? Paul wasn't in prison for stealing from his neighbor. Paul wasn't in prison for selling dope on the street corner. Paul went to prison because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. He stepped over there in Asia and seen all the wickedness prevalent in the streets.
He's seen the godlessness. He's seen the idolatry. He's seen all the false worship. And Paul would stand up over there and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And church, because of that, Paul went to a place. And from what I can understand, I don't know, it might be completely wrong. Prison's just bad enough, even if it's got gold bars. Prison ain't a good place. I don't care how you dress it up. But from what I understand, most of them prisons were just septic tanks where the sewage ran. Knee deep up in them cells, and them old boys was chained up in there. But you know what? Paul was sitting down there, and the best I can tell, he never did quit even down there in the prison house. Best I can tell, he had a testimony even in the prison. He talked about them people in his bonds. He said, remember all the saints in Caesar's household. Man, I'm telling you, they wasn't no saints in Caesar's household unless he was with them to God while he was down there in prison. Where was all them children of God in Caesar's household? Bunch of reprobates. They come out of them prison cells down there with that preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this politically correct society or system that we live in anymore, it's hard to say anything without offending people. Could you see Paul getting offended? Lord have mercy. You know what happened to all them apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what happened to all of them? They were all martyred. Huh? They were all martyred. They all suffered. All them apostles, and they took old Peter out there and put him on the cross and hung him upside down. And for years and years and years, the people of God's been martyred, had their heads cut off. Men have sat there and watched them rape their wives and children while they tied them up to burn them at a stake, and sit there and cut them in pieces, and had to sit there and watch them torture their family only to ultimately be burned to death themselves. Why? Cause of Christ. I don't know nothing about suffering. Nothing about suffering. I knew something about getting my feelings hurt. I don't know nothing about that kind of suffering. Most time anymore, you can hurt somebody's feelings or tick them off and they just get plumb sideways. I've heard this church, I've heard churches using the same slogan as the world. And I can understand some of this to an extent, and I'm really compromising and being a liberal by saying that. About made myself sick when I thought about it earlier today. It's what they say, Miss Stephanie. Come to our church, it's the judgment-free zone. Come to our church, place where there is no judgment. And I seen a commercial one day, just so happened to see it, Michael. Planet Fitness was running a commercial. And they said, come to Planet Fitness, it's the no judgment zone. No matter what kind of weight you look, ain't nobody going to judge you for how you look here. I mean, that's amazing. That's what the independent fundamental Baptist churches are using today, the no judgment zone. But I read somewhere in this book one day where it said judgment must begin at the house of God. I read that somewhere. It seemed like a pretty good book at the time. You reckon it was? I'm saying don't let things trip you up. Don't let things trip you out. I've seen people trip out over stuff that's come their way. I've seen people get tripped up, and that's okay. I said the other day, we serve a God that after you fall on your face, He will allow you to fall on your face. That's right. Been men all through that Bible that fell on their face. And while they was on their face, they fell before God. Don't leave the land. Don't bail out on the will of God. Just stay with God and know God. Huh? Stay with His will. Know His will. Listen at Romans 8:18.
He said, "For I reckon," remember we said that the other day, talked about reckoning, "for I reckon that the servants of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what it is that comes your way. Just say, thank God, it's going to be worth it one of these days. Just as Joseph saw a way that are saved by the grace of God. Our story don't end with suffering, though you might have to go through some things here in this old world. But as he was brought out of the dungeon, so shall we be brought out of this old dungeon. It's good. Let me say this again. These stages can come and go all through your Christian walk. I mean, if you can be saved for 40 years, you can be saved. And you might have to go through this stuff 20 different directions in your Christian life. That's right. There's things, Steve, that I have to go through today in my Christian life. And I've been saved for 28 years. There's been things, Mama, that I go through today that I went through 20 years ago. Stages in my life. There's been things that come up in my life that Miss Stephanie have had to deal with. You say, "Preacher, that's crazy, is it?" Remember stage number two? Remember when Adam had two sons, Cain and Abel, and there was the two natures? You don't think I had to deal with my old nature? Yeah, every once in a while, more times than not, he sticks that old nature sticks his old head up. That's right. I had to fight it. I had to fight this old flesh. I have to fight that old man. So what do? Count myself as dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead. That's right. Man, how can a dead man do that? When Moses threw the temper tantrum, I'll give you another thought. When Moses threw the temper tantrum that he threw, and everybody remembers that. Miss Debbie, that wasn't over there in Egypt. He didn't throw a temper tantrum in Egypt, very well could have. I mean, besides killing that man. I'm just trying to say, Miss Holly, he didn't do it when he was a baby in Christ. Moses threw that temper tantrum at the end of his life. He threw that temper tantrum at the end of his journey, Miss Stephanie. Here's this great man of faith that walked with God, the greatest pastor they say that God ever let live, the meekest man, God said, that there ever was upon the earth. And here he is at the end of his journey, and he threw a little temper tantrum. The very opposite of what God commended him for. Some things that you might have to go through back and forth in your life. Isn't it amazing how backwards we can go sometimes? Listen to me. I think if God ever did give me anything out of this thought for this church, it might be this. Just amazing how backwards we can go sometimes in our Christian walk. Amazing how backwards we can go in this journey of God. Man, it seems like we've made so much progress. Seems like we've come so far. Seems like we're doing so good. Then all of a sudden, seem like an idiot again. Been there 1,000 times in my life. And so have you. I promise you that. You and everybody else can stand and say, "What in the world is wrong with him?" Isn't it amazing, Miss Stephanie, that we can go backwards and everybody around us can sit and go, "What are they doing? You idiot. What? You fool, what have you done? Why would you do this? My God, you ain't man, you've lost it." What's he going to say to Moses? You know, at the end of his journey, we'll smite that rock twice. Moses, you idiot. Why in the world, son? After all that God's done, everything that God's brought us through, all this journey that we've been on, and here you are, this old man, making such a stupid mistake. Why would you do that? Boy, I'm so glad the Bible's honest. You hear me? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what Moses did, I do. And what Moses did, you do. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all can smite that rock. We can all do some stupid stuff, no matter how far we've come with the Lord. We can all go backwards. Sometimes we can go along so well and finally run into some snares, and it seems like we're back to ground zero. And like we got to start all over again. And you do. You do. You got to start all over again. But ain't you glad that God gave you a fresh start? You want to know why people have a hard time letting other people have a fresh start? It's called mercy. You want to know why people have a hard time forgiving other people and saying, man, you know what? Just let bygones be bygones. I forgive you. We're going to go on in the name. You want to know why? Because they never found that kind of mercy in God. You can fake it. But if God ever does forgive you like that, you'll understand. Boy, I tell you, you want to forgive others. You want to help them. You want to be a blessing. You want to let that stuff go. You find yourself starting over somewhere, listen. Rejoice in the fact that God cares enough about you to take you to that place. You ain't not there by mistake. God ain't lost you out of His grip. He ain't lost control. Thank God. Say, man, I'm starting. It's all over. We've been here 1,000 times. Seem like we're having to go through this all over again. Hey, shut up. Thank God for that. God allowed you to be in that place. That He cared enough about you. That He didn't say, you know what? I don't like the life that they live. I don't like where they're in their journey. Fully on them. I'm going to let them go. I'm not going to do anything else. Fully on them. No, God said, you know what? I don't like the stalemate. I don't like the stagnation. I don't like where they're at. I'm going to take them back to a place where they can get close to me again. Start this thing over a little bit. Huh? Let's walk fresh tomorrow. Name one stage in this whole thing that you never have to do again. And I hope you understand that. That's stage one. You never have to be lost again. Isn't it amazing that the Baptists believe that you once saved and always saved, but they don't ever believe you're right with God? Poor old Pentecostals, bless their heart. They don't believe nobody's saved more than a day. Well, they're just pitiful, man. You never have to repeat salvation. But there's no limit to how many times you might have to visit them other stages. There's no limit. There's no limit to how many times you might have to suffer persecution in your life. I mean, if you live 50 more years, you might go through persecution 10, 15 years of your life total. You might live over there, man, in a place where it's just total victory. And man, you just on top of the mountain. And I hope to God you don't, because that's the worst place in the world for you to live all them years. But then you might go through that place, Miss Holly, where you can't hear God, feel God, sense God, seem like God doesn't even exist for 13 years. Just go right back to that same place. Tell how many times you have to visit them places, Miss Stephanie. Mama, here's something I thought about. I look back on my childhood and my school days and what a hardship I must have been. Mama having to work and receiving phone calls about her idiotic boy down to school, not knowing how to act. And I'm sure that when I went to school, them teachers probably thought, boy, he probably never gets a whipping. Little did they know, I got the blood beat out of me every stinking day almost. I didn't like school. Can I be honest? I hated Hamlet. I hated Hamlet. I hated Macbeth. I hated every bit of that stupid. I hated it. You can like it. I'm just telling you, I hated that stupid. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou? Give a flip where Romeo was. Man, something was deer out in the woods. Who cares about Romeo when they fish over in that pond? You're about Romeo. Romeo. Trying to make sissies out of all the little boys. Bless God, home at. I'm fine with cooking, but they tried to get me to paint my fingernails one day, Michael. I told that teacher, I'm not painting my fingernails. I'll cook a biscuit in the oven, but I'm not painting my fingernails. You'll paint your fingernails, you'll leave this class. I said, well, I'm just leaving the class. I wasn't painting my stinking fingernails. I hated school. I still think I'm married. I don't care how many daughters you got. Bless God, you paint your fingernails, you're a freak. These old men putting on all these dresses and makeup and painting their fingernails because they got daughters. They just want to paint their fingernails and put on dresses. Fooling me. Got that sissy in their heart. Well, I'll kill it real quick right there. I can only imagine what a disappointment Mama was when the report cards came out. Huh? What a disappointment. You know how many times the report card came home and back before I got into fifth and sixth grade, we worked on a 1-2-3 scale. One was the best, three was the worst. Man, I was a perfect 100, 1,000, 100 for 100. Back 1,000, Madeline, in threes. Amen. That conduct category out of a scale from 1 to 3, 3 being the worst, I was about a 5 on that conduct scale. Man, the school was just a big playground. I'm not encouraging that. I mean, you come out of school just as stupid as I did. That ain't nothing to brag about. Ain't nothing good about being stupid. I had to go to the place I should have done well. But you keep this in mind, Michael. One of these, the school was judging me by that, by my work, and they said on the report card, basically what they were saying was, he's stupid. And yet, there I was in the 7th and 8th grade, and I discovered that the ink on that report card, by then it was A, B, C's, and D's, and F's. And Miss Denny, I discovered that that ink on them report cards was erasable. Yeah, I want all the kids to listen up in here tonight. Sitting over and telling me, shh. Michael, I went down there at my cousin's house and I took a pencil and I erased them things. I throwed that report card, son, in that typewriter and I got me some C's on that thing. Couldn't do an A. Mama would have said, something's wrong. They got the wrong name on this piece of paper. I put them C's on there. Got down there to PE, Steve, and I had that A. Amen. I had an A on PE. Sir. I even got a bad grade in PE a couple of years because I wouldn't wear them little shorts they gave us. Huh? Look like some of them boys out of California or France somewhere, man. So no, I had too many stripes on my legs. I wasn't showing my legs. And that's the truth. So they give me a bad mark for that. And you say, what are you talking about? I know it sounds about half funny, and I did bring home some bad marks, and I'm not proud of it. It was stupid. But it's mostly his fault because he said, hey, you know, I looked up to my older brothers. You know. And he said, man, don't worry about school. Just have fun. You only get to do it once. I took my older brother's advice. I said, oh, we'll just have fun. Yeah. Michael, I can only imagine. You know, Mom, she would say, you know, just get a job. Get a job. But no parent wants to see that report card come home and see, find out how stupid or young it really is. Miss Denny, every bad mark I ever got is there. But she never stopped loving me. Never. You know what some of these stages are? They're tests in their life. And sometimes we get big old fat eggs on these things here. Sometimes some of the stages, some of the trials, some of the tests in my life, I have absolutely flunked. You hear me? Boy, I can remember some of them going through some of this stuff and going through some trials in my life, and I can remember bailing out on God. Do you hear me? And man, I wasn't out no time before I realized, oh, God, I've messed up. And then I remembered, I said, man, I'm going to probably have to go through this all over again because I made such a mess out of it. But I found this out, church, that I've messed up and I failed God and I failed my friends and I failed my family, I failed my wife, I failed my kids, but God never has stopped loving me. Never has. Never will. Thank God. Somebody just got a text. Matthew 7:11 says this, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I'm just saying that if you look at each one of these characters, you'll see common things amongst them all, that no matter who they were or where they were. God loved them and cared for every one of them. Every one of them. Even Lot in Sodom. God loved him and cared for him. No matter where you're at in your Christian life, no matter where you're at in this journey of life, no matter what you're going through, no matter if you've passed or failed or messed up or slipped, God still loves you. He's not give up on us. Thank God. Thank God. Just as Jesus did for them, ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you that those are His. No matter who you are or where you are, He still loves you and He still cares for you. You say, how you know? Because God cannot change. He cannot change. Man, I tell you, He loved me with an unconditional love. No matter what my score was on the report card, God said, you know what, dummy? I love you anyway. You know what? You slipped up. You failed. You failed. You fouled up miserably. But you know what? I'll let you go through it again. I'll take you back over here to this stage. And I'll start the process over. Oh, God, no. I don't want to go through it again. Well, stay over here where you're doing nothing in the journey of God. Just grow stale and stagnant on God. You know what? You know what I found out? I found out going back to some of these stages in our Christian life was 10,000 times better, Eric, than being put on a shelf somewhere. Hey, it's a lot better than being a castaway. You hear me? It's better. It's much better. It's much better, friend, than God walking away and saying, I'm done with you. It's much better than God removing His hand, removing His heart, removing His eyes, removing His ears. I'd rather go through them 1,000 times than for God to say, I'm done. Thank God for where you're at. Thank God for where you're at. You see, I'm in a miserable place. Thank God in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you love God? Do you love God? If you love God, then all things do work together for good to them that love Him, to those who are called, friend, according to His purpose. If you love Him, friend, rejoice in what you're going through. See, it's an awful thing. It's a miserable thing. Thank God for that, friend. Thank God for that. Preacher, you're crazy. Okay? You're not in hell tonight. I'm done. You're not in hell. You're to be. I ought to be. We're sitting over here in this hot building on a cool night. Huh? I can love you. You can love them. We can enjoy one another. And I'm telling you, everything in our world can be turned upside down. And God's sitting up there in heaven going, hey, it's just a stage. It's just a stage. It's going to pass. I'm going to take you, stay on your journey. I'm going to take you to a place of rest. I'm going to take you, you live that Spirit-filled life. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you to a better place. And guess what? You keep walking with me, and I might drop you off over in Sufferingville. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something to be counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ? Wouldn't it be something? That's a hard pill to swallow, friend. Wouldn't that be something? Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord God, for these stages in our life. Thank you for the walk that we have with Jesus. And God, there's some in here tonight. It's not even on the journey. But I pray, dear God, that you'd deal with each and every heart and, God, the way that's needful. Pray, God, that you'd touch each and every life in this place. Lord, I pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, this pulpit can be a blessing in the lives of others. Help us, dear God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Grace.